If you have read my summer holidays, you would know that Rishi is the rule breaker, while Meera is the obedient one. People like Rishi are more attractive. Till now, the great Indian family has explored more of Rishi kind of people, the rebels. But today, I have with me someone like Meera, an endorser of obedience and hierarchical discipline. But then, he is neither weak nor an underachiever. I have with me today the book-to-films man, Siddharth Jain, founder of The Story Inc. Hi friends, I'm Coral Dasgupta, founder of Tell Me Your Story and author, here with my podcast show The Great Indian Family in collaboration with Epilogue Media. You can listen to the podcast on epilogue.media. You can also hear us on Spotify, JioSaavn, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, CastBox, and all other podcast apps. Welcome to the show, Siddharth.
Hi, Coral.
So we had been planning this for a while and finally I have you here. How did your childhood look like, Siddharth?
Well, my childhood was pretty predictable, safe, calm, very, very protected, as if I was living in a cocoon all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to my family, you know, my grandparents, my parents, you know, always lived a joint family. And being the eldest one, I was always more responsible. So I was the guy who would follow the rules, do my homework, you know, before anyone could tell me.
Set the example.
And also just sort of, because my grandfather was very, very particular about conduct and process and being organized. And I was very close to him. So I automatically started following that.
Okay.
So it was a very, very sweet, like I don't have any disruptive memories from my childhood, thankfully, and I'm grateful for that. So it was pretty, and you know, growing up in South Bombay, Churchgate, never went beyond Worli unless I had to go to the airport. So it was, you know, that kind of a cocoon.
And what were the holidays like? How did it span?
So holidays were always, most of the summer holidays were in Ghaziabad and Delhi,
mm-hmm.
because my nani, my mamas, my mausis, they were all there.
Okay.
So it was always away from Bombay. Very, very different environment. Summer holidays are very hot summer. I remember, you know, no electricity, coolers, you know, things that we never experienced in Bombay. So it was a very different world for me, mm-hmm. and it was good fun.
How was the equation and the dynamics in Nanighar different from your own? Was it a joint family as well?
Yeah, Nani's house was also a large joint family, and Nani's house was very chilled because we used to only go for, you know, the summer holiday, 1.5-2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So we were pampered, we used to get things, play all day, no homework, no school. So life is different,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, just lounging around, not doing much. And we used to live in, you know, bungalows, right, over there, gardens and bungalows. So just doing random things, going to the garden and, you know, so more closer to nature, I would say. And yeah, Nani house was like an escape.
Get away. So that was 2 months in the year?
Yeah, broadly 1.5-2 months.
Okay. And who were you closest to in the Nani house and why?
Well, my younger mama, because he was way younger than my mother also.
Okay.
So he was and he still is a very cool guy. So I remember, you know, he had a scooter. And we were, you know, all the cousins would come during summer holidays. And 5-6 of us with him on one scooter going around, you know, Ghaziabad and going to drink lassi and go to the cold storage, get fresh milk and, you know, all those things. So with our mama, we used to have the most fun.
I think those days, anybody with a two-wheeler. Did suffer this.
Yeah.
I remember in Calcutta, my only one mama had a bike and we did the same. Jitne ho sake, sare ke sare.
It was pretty cool. And now if I think of it, I'm like shocked.
Yeah.
It's so unsafe. How dare he take all these children on one bike? But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. And did you have friends around there? I mean, how was the equation with those? Like, bahut sare hota hai ki nani ghar ke paas alag group of friends hote hain. Did you have that?
Nahin, we never had because we were so many cousins.
Okay.
So hum log aapas mein busy rehte the.
Okay.
So we never had a chance to go beyond. And for some reason it was... I don't know anybody actually who should live around us. Maybe that's the Bombay mindset. Now we don't know many people outside our homes. So maybe I took that with me.
How many were there? Cousins?
Cousins, we were about 5-6 of us. 5-7. And also, my main cousins who were living in that house, they used to be in a hostel. So even they didn't have local friends. So wo log bhi aate the in the summer holidays, just like us, as visitors in the same home. So, you know, we were just like busy catching up with each other.
And how were they? I mean, if you have to define your cousins like today.
So one was like very studious. Even in his holidays, he was studying.
Okay.
The other guy was, I mean, my other...
डांट पड़ती थी? वो पढ़ रहा है इसलिए आप लोगों को डांट पड़ती
थी? नहीं, हमको डांट नहीं पड़ती थी.
Okay.
I don't know क्या था, वो पढ़ते रहता था. And my, you know, the other cousin would come from Calcutta. So the Calcutta cousin and, you know, and myself, we were the same age. So we would hang out the most. And yeah, it was like, मस्ती करते थे. But हमारी मस्ती was very simple मस्ती. Like watching movies, throwing stones at the monkeys. And just like randomly taking the pipe in the garden and having a bath in the afternoon. So things like those.
Okay.
Good boys.
Yeah, मुझे तो अभी भी डांट पड़ती है. मतलब किसी को IIT में हो गया, किसी को डॉक्टरी हो गया, मुझे अभी भी डांट पड़ती है.
So studies में हम सब अच्छे ही थे.
Okay.
My sister was weak, but like I was always like, ये तो ठीक है, इसको बोलने की जरूरत नहीं है.
Right. Okay. नानी घर usually means stories, food, more liberties, gifts. For you, which one is more? I mean, how do you describe it?
See, I am a foodie. And then food in North India is amazing. So for me, some holidays were also eating a lot of food every day. And just eating tikkis and chaat and aloo chaat. And my life was between tikki and aloo chaat, chola bhatura, black dal. So food was the big thing. Everything else was secondary. Every day it was about aaj kya khana hai. And yeah, that was really the main focus of the holiday.
Ghar pe kya kya banta tha?
Ghar pe to, you know, I mean, the usual, you know.
Because usually your nani ghar, I mean, they have very special, something which is very special in nani ghar. Aisa kuch tha?
Nahin, aisa to kuch nahin tha. Yehi tha ki chaat. Because Bombay mein chaat was never the focus.
Yeah.
To wahan pe to every day chaat banti thi.
Okay.
And ek cheez I should remember that, you know, we were forced to have milk with roo afza there.
Mm.
And it became a thing. And after some time, I think we should just put that in the garden, pour all the milk there. But this roo afza doodh was like a big thing in nani house. I just remember it.
It was for sehat and all that? Or?
I have no idea. I was like appalled ki pink doodh kyun pila rahe. Ek to I should not like milk and upar se roo afza in it. And yeah, it was. And with a lot of malai on top. So this was like... This was a problem
for
me.
You know, every community has something jo matlab, like hereditarily you were told. That ये खाने से कुछ अच्छा होगा. वो अच्छा क्या है किसी को नहीं मालूम,
किसी को नहीं,
लेकिन खिलाया जाता है. तो आपके लिए ऐसा ही कुछ होगा. ओके. इन योर चाइल्डहुड, आई मीन टुडे यू आर अ स्टोरी पर्सन, व्हाट इज द फर्स्ट मेमोरी ऑफ हियरिंग अ स्टोरी व्हिच समवन एल्स मस्ट हैव टोल्ड यू?
सो मॉम यूज्ड टू टेल अस सम राजा रानी स्टोरीज, वेग राजा रानी स्टोरीज. एवरी डे शी वुड रिपीट, एंड आई एम श्योर वी फोर्स हर टू रिपीट दोज स्टोरीज, which I can't remember right now. But, and those are mostly during lunch. Khana khate hue. I have that first memory. And then my all memories are reading Amachitra Katha comics, Tinkle, and Archie comics and Tintin.
Okay.
Then my whole world was this. And I was reading all the time. While in the toilet, while eating, the school bus. Whenever I get time, I would read my comic books. And then I was consumed by them for years, reading them again and again and again. In fact, all the history that I probably know is from Amarchitra Katha.
Okay.
I don't remember much from textbooks as much. So those stories have always been very, very kind of, I wouldn't say prominent, but I would say...
Influential.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure. Subconsciously, they've influenced the way we think. But yeah, I would say that.
What is the, I mean, in your memory, what is the most... strongest story in your childhood which you think has influenced you immensely? I mean, I'm not talking about books, I'm talking about people.
So I think for me, my greatest influence always was my grandfather, because he built a life for him and his family in Bombay. Came from a very rich zamindar family, then everything went zero after independence, had to leave UP, come to Bombay. And he sort of, you know, he built a pretty, I would say, strong foundation for the entire family. So for me, he was always like the person that I wanted to learn from and be like him.
How was he?
He was a very, very straightforward, very strong person, a typical Leo. Very strong, very proud, never wanted to take a favor from anybody, but, you know, do a lot of favors for people, a lot of charity, very straightforward. You know, I always remember that we used to always pay income tax. Like, his thing was, you know, just, you know, always do the right thing. Focused on fitness, travel, balanced life. And he should do everything for the family. So you know, the typical, you know, the Indian family values. So he was sort of pretty much like how it should be.
Mm-hmm. What was the family profession, if there was one?
Yeah. So
what was your grandfather doing, and what did the rest of the people do?
My grandfather used to be, you know, in a chemical business, and okay. he was running a large company. But after that, he set up.
Chemical manufacturing.
Manufacturing or? And marketing, what my grandfathers look at, and then by the time my father sort of, you know, was older, we had these home furnishing showrooms in South Bombay, and like we were like the pioneer showrooms. So everybody would come, you know, right from Ratan Tata to Amjad Khan to Amitabh Bachchan to buy sofas, sofa material and curtain material from our shops. So we had those for many years. And before that, we were zamindar. So business was never in our thing. We were always a very zamindar mindset, which I think also creeped into me in a way. So I don't think like a trader. I don't think like a very, very strong businessman. And I think that sort of is there across in our family.
Okay. How did the South Bombay to suburbs happen?
This happened just recently, a few years ago, because the travel was just too much. And I just didn't want to spend 3 to 4 hours a day in the car.
I know.
So I had to move, and it's been...
Yeah, I mean, you have managed the unthinkable, because I know, I mean, South Bombayites, they are like suburbs.
Because honestly, when I moved here, I had never come to Andheri. I just gone like 3-4 times.
Okay.
And I'm still grappling. It's just that it's a different world, because in South Bombay, everybody is there since second, third generation.
Yeah.
Here, most people are from outside. So it's quite a... It's a different set of people.
I know.
So I quite like it. I'm okay. But my friends are like still shocked. In a couple of years, you know, how did you move? How do you manage? Like, how do I manage in the same city?
I remember an ex-colleague. Every day we saw that she would come, by an auto. Matlab station se auto le leti thi. And she would come down the auto and fight with the auto wala every day for 2 rupees. And... We were like, every day, how can you have this issue? But after a while, we got to know that she has 3 houses in South Bombay. And we were like, oh. What the hell?
So that's how she's made those houses, right? 2 rupees. Thousands of 2 to 3 rupees.
Yeah, but like, at times I feel that South Bombayites have that really, I mean, you know, Marwari mindset. Ki they just know how to multiply it.
I guess.
And every actually, one penny counts.
Haan, but you know, actually, South Bombay also is a very... In South Bombay, my experience is that most people are either Gujaratis, Marwaris, and then you have the Punjabis, and then the rest. And they're all very business focused. Usually, it's their own money which they keep doing things with. And it just comes from very... Yeah, it's just a different way of looking at life. So, there's no struggle there.
Yeah.
Because everybody is staying in their own family homes. You know, it's only beyond Bandra that people from outside, they're living on rent and they want to buy a house. In South Bombay, all my growing up, you know, years in school and college, and till date, I mean, you know, the thought never occurred that, we have to buy a house. It was never on the radar.
Right.
And I think because of that, I was able to do the things that I could do without thinking about that.
And somewhere there was a security in the brain.
Haan, right? Because it's your home, na? So if somebody's from Patna and you're working in Patna is your house. So then you can do what you want to do.
Yeah.
So when you move cities, then that whole sort of situation arises.
You know, one thing I wanted to ask you, that I have seen Jains, Marwaris in general, they're very particular about the puja thing. Matlab, subah utke, I mean, something I have covered in my first fiction also.
Right.
Rajasthanis, I have seen that they're very, very particular, and the entire family, kitna bhi subah ho, they will take a bath, come together, do that puja together. Chahe ladai ho, chahe kuch bhi ho, they're there together. Did it happen in your house?
So see, we are not Marwaris.
I know that.
So we are Jains from UP.
Right.
And we are religious family, but not fanatically religious.
Okay.
Puja hoti thi, But see, what you're talking about, no, I have a lot of, you know, Marwari friends and relatives.
No, even in Jains, I have Jain friends also. They're also very, very specific about their spirituality. Very specific.
Yeah. So see, we used to do puja, like my grandfather, my grandmother, they still do puja. My mom still does, my dad does. But it's like a 2 minute. So Hamari puja is a very typical Jain puja, which is not great. But you know, the puja that you're talking about, that Marwadis do, that's Lakshmi puja.
Right.
See, for them, money is the most important thing.
Yeah.
For most of them. So then Lakshmi puja, and they believe in God.
Yeah.
And they believe ki Lakshmi se Lakshmi aati hai.
Okay.
And so for them, it's really, I think, very important. For us, it's okay. It was always, but you know, we used to always have, as a kid, every Sunday, my grandfather used to call this Pandit, Jain Pandit, who would talk to us about Jainism and stories about Jainism and values of Jainism. And at that time, we used to, you know, bunk, make excuses. But we did that for many years. And I think that was, so my grandfather was more in understanding the practicality than going in, you know, going into ritual.
Okay.
So less ritual oriented for us.
So do you think your childhood has prepared you somewhere to be the person that you are today?
Absolutely. I think because I had a, you know, I think I was fortunate and privileged to have a secure childhood, and that made me very calm. I don't get worked up, and I always know there's home. So I think that sort of, you know, in the head, it's very settled. And that, I think that that state of mind is very important when you want to do different things patiently. You know, I have sort of never had a, you know, timer or a ticking time bomb trying to do this, do this, do this. So I was able to follow my passion and not worrying about how much time it'll take or where will it lead to. Because, you know, I think that security is always useful. So I really admire people who don't have that security and yet, you know, strive to do so much. And I feel that, and I really admire people who are from outside the city, come here, survive here, and, you know, and then they have to achieve certain goals. And with that pressure, when they try to do creative things, especially, I'm like, wow, that's great. Because I feel that, you know, I have been very fortunate and I don't have that thing. And I'm always thankful for that.
You just said something that you never get worked up. Is that a part of your family culture?
I think that's part of me, and I think what I've imbibed from my grandfather.
Okay.
We may be short-tempered and get angry, but you know, if there's a situation, if there's a storm,
it's all about how you express yourself. So, you never misbehave with yourself. Is it something like that?
No. So I am short-tempered. I'm very short-tempered.
Okay.
But I would say
I am known to be a very aggressive person. So I really need to.
But if there's a storm,
ashirvaad chahiye.
Nahi, I'm very like Buddhist. That in my head.
Okay.
And, you know, I feel if the storm comes, I like to be the mountain.
Okay.
The storm will pass. I don't have to become the storm. Then I will also pass with the storm. So I feel, I always feel like I'm a solid mountain and I should be like this and let the storms pass.
Okay. And you happen to be a very obedient and disciplined person. So how did these qualities help you to become a unpredictable risk taker today?
So, you know, there are two things, right? One is being organized. For me, it's important to be before time. It's normal. It's not a thing. Like I'm sometimes surprised when people say, I'll try and be on time. Like, but shouldn't your default setting be like to reach before time? So I think those things have come from my grandfather. But, you know, if I look at people around me, even if they had grandfathers like mine, everybody is different. So I think it's very important for me to be organized. Like I have OCD. If you go into my office, there's so many things, right? If anything moves, I have to set it right. So I have a little bit of OCD, a little bit of organization in my head. And I need to have things my way so that my mind is at peace. Then the OCD thing is stopped and now I can focus on other things. So being organized generally in life, you know, so, and I think if you're organized, we can fight a battle better. So when you know, as an entrepreneur, if you're doing something different, you're taking a risk. Taking a risk is like going to battle. I need to know, right? How many guns I have, how many arrows I have, how many bullets, what is the enemy like. So if I don't prepare, you know, I'll be like just
lost,
right? So it's very important. So I feel, generally, I feel organization is very important, but not like military.
Mm.
You know, I do have my sort of...
Well, not destructively.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I mean, just be a little practical. I like to enjoy my moments when I'm like, I'm not working or I want to just read or do different things. But I think organization has helped me do things in a better way.
Mm. And how do you do that? I mean, you said that I first settled the OCD thing by making sure that things are largely your way. How do you make that
so
happen?
It's in the mind, right? It's all in our head. And for me, you know, I think that if we can lead a stable life and we sort of, you know, put the basics in place and say 20% of the energy we can spend to do that, then the other 80% we can use to really focus on innovations or do things that haven't happened before and then try and conquer new lands, right? But you have to do that. It can't be okay, you're dealing with the nitty-gritties.
Mm.
So to organize the nitty-gritties, it's good to put them on the side, settle your head, and then keep your mind free.
Mm.
It's all a mind game, right? It's all about
our
head.
Absolutely. Superb. So, Siddharth, I'll move to the next section of the show, which is where I'll ask you three questions, which are very fictional, and you will have to interpret them your way and give me an answer. So, if you have to rename your nanny house or your own house in Bombay, is there a house name?
No, there's no name.
If you have to give a name to it, what will you name it?
So I like to call a building name as that home, Fairfield.
Mm-hmm.
So when, say, if you're going to visit my grandparents, because they're still there, my uncle's there. So we say we're going to Fairfield.
Mm-hmm.
So Fairfield is how we call our ancestral home in Bombay.
Yeah. So if you have to rename it.
Rename it.
Of course, depending upon the emotions that you have for that house, what will you name it?
I actually would probably call it, you know, like Granny House.
Okay.
Because my grandmother's still there. My grandfather passed away.
Okay.
And she's still the reason why we keep going there.
I know. There's something about this grandparents thing, grandmother thing, which is, they can make impossibles happen. I mean, things that I can't do with my child, my mother will come 2 seconds khatam.
Yeah. No, that's the power of women in general.
I hope I am also. Matlab, kabhi
fathers and grandfathers can't do that.
So who is that one person in the family who you would want your son to be like?
My grandfather.
Okay. Is there any quality in your son which is actually like your grandfather?
No.
That is so bad. That is a typical father.
No. I think the one thing that is there is, I think, being very outspoken and frank.
Okay.
That quality is in him, in me, in my grandfather,
all of
my
you.
Father. Yeah.
The third question is, if you wrote a fiction, whose story would you write? Describe your protagonist.
I think it would be a Romeo in today's time.
Okay.
And what would, you know, Romeo's life be if he were around? Because I always have this theory that, you know, in the earlier times when Romeo and Juliet were there, they couldn't be together because of, you know, families.
Mm.
But in today's world, families are not a problem. They themselves are the problem. Romeo and Juliet. So I've always liked to explore how would Romeo, if they were here today, would they be together? Never. And if, like, even if the families were okay, they would still not end up together.
True that. Very Devdi kind of.
Yeah, so I've written a short film which is around this.
Okay.
Yeah.
We look forward to see that on screen sometime. Okay, the next section is something called Truth or Myth. I will say 5 sentences. You are free to interpret them your way, not necessarily my way, and give an explanation to that, right? First is, Nanighar has more secret mischiefs than your own house.
Yeah, because in Nanighar, we spend only 1 month in a year.
Mm.
So it has a lot of things that we haven't explored. Like, I would love to go and explore old cupboards, what's inside them. And I've heard stories
without
of treasure.
Without getting scolded.
Yeah, and you'd be smart. I mean, smart kids. So Nani would be like sleeping in the afternoon. So afternoons, when everybody was sleeping, me and my cousin, we would just go and explore the house. And it was a very big, large, haveli kind of a place. And we had heard that, you know, like earlier, there was treasure. So actually, we would literally hope that we'll find something really valuable. Never. But yeah.
Precious stones was
so a lot of secrets, a lot of things over there.
Okay. An obedient child gets dominated by others in the family. Truth or myth?
I think it's a myth. Like, for example, I was obedient, but I was the one who would dominate others.
Okay.
Because I was the eldest.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it's a myth.
And others took the domination, like,
Well, see, I'm a Taurian. Most dictators in the world are Taurians.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah, so you know, Taurians, you can't dominate Taurians
dictator,
that easily.
You say.
Kaise karenge na? You can't dominate Taurians. It's not possible. Because yeah. It's our responsibility to bring, you know, order to this world.
With all our seeing.
Yeah.
Okay. So third is, overtly studious ones miss out on many joys of life.
Yeah. I think I didn't have enough fun, you know, when I was a kid because I was very studious. And by default, I was studious. And when I look around, like my brother, my son, or, you know, other people are having so much fun. But that's fun for them.
Mm.
And what I was doing was actually probably fun for me.
Okay, you really loved studying? It was your, like, kind of a default action?
I don't know. I mean, I still can't figure why I would study so much. Because I don't believe in the education system anymore. And I'm like, I feel I wasted so much of time studying. Because I just think I wanted to get good marks. I think that sort of drove me.
You know, for me, I often, aisa hota tha ki entire year I would not study. I would have fun around. But then I was an idealist person, always. So, before the exam, I would try to study everything. Jabki main dekh rahi hun ki meri dost, sab kuch, matlab, selective study karke, aram se so gayi hai. 12 baje main gar-gar-gar-gar padh rahi hun aur wo so rahi hai, khadate maar rahi hai. And she is telling me also, arre, itna ye sab mat padh, nahi aayega. But then I would suffer that guilt. Nahi, exam hai to sab kuch padh ke jaane ka.
So, I was like your friend. I was very studious.
Selective study.
Okay. And I used to study in advance. So I've never stressed. Like, for example, in my entire life, including my MBA, I've never studied late nights.
Okay.
I've always slept, you know, 8, 9 hours, 10 hours. Okay. I can't remember any exam, any board exam, where I've slept less than 8, 9 hours.
That's so cool. I'll send
So I've always been very cool and chilled because that comes from organized preparation.
I would. Some part of the syllabus would be left because time
not enough time.
So out of guilt, after the exam, I would sit and study those. So aisa bhi
hua. Itna to maine kabhi nahi. But I remember, like, you know, if it's class 10 will start next after some holidays, after class 9, I would study the next year ka books in the summer. Just like,
anyway, I'm thinking that I'll send my son to you for a crash course. I would rather not have him emulating me.
Yeah, but you know, my son has a different theory. So he says that everybody is foolish if they study all year.
Mm.
I will do last minute study and get marks better than them. And he's done that in class 10 and class 12. He's saying our system is so bad that you can just work around it. He's saying, oh, people are studying for 10 years. I study only for 3 months and I get better marks than in the board.
Now I'm wondering ki kiske paas training ke liye bhejo, aapke paas ya aapke
uske paas liye main keh raha hu. I'm not the right guy. I am like the traditional method. Pure saal padho.
Okay, the fourth one, calm people usually get a rebellious life partner.
I don't know, I think it's all luck.
How is yours?
Mine is aggressive.
Okay.
Partners. So, you know, also in my, if I look around me, everybody's very aggressive. And I'm also very aggressive. But I think calm is boring for me, like, honestly. And I don't mean that in terms of anger, aggression.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel I like people more who are more driven by something.
Mm-hmm. Passion little, driven.
Yeah, something. You need to have something. Whether it's cycling in the potholes or writing or going driving. But
some purpose.
Something, yeah. Not too calm.
Mm.
Then it's like, yeah, then it's a problem. It's like then living in a monastery.
Okay. The last one in the section, a dominating person is disruptive.
Well, a dominating person is disruptive, but that may not be a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, disruption can be good and bad.
Mm.
It can be.
In your case, how is it? How do you interpret this question?
So I think for me, I am disruptive by nature because I like to do things that people don't do.
Yeah.
So for me, that's my, like, I'm excited about that. Then I don't think about the consequences, about failure. All those things don't come to me. And I've done, like, various businesses over the years.
Mm.
Right from finance to .com and then from Hollywood to Bollywood. And producing and now what I'm doing. It's always been driven by the need to disrupt, but not for the sake of disruption. Because
mm-hmm.
I feel, oh, nobody's done this. I should be doing this because mm-hmm. I'm enjoying it. So it's always driven by passion. So if the disruption is driven by genuine passion to add value to people around us, then I think it's good. Otherwise, it's a problem.
Siddharth, one question I forgot to ask you. I remember you telling me that you had started a company which was into share trading, right? And
mm-hmm.
then you sold it off. So share trading, which is hardcore finance, वहाँ से आप literature में कैसे आ गए?
नहीं तो literature was an accident. Okay, so when I was 16 years old, just after my class 10, I stumbled upon the stock markets and I started trading with my pocket money. And a couple of thousands became a couple of lakhs by the time I was in class 12. And so I thought I want to be a banker. So I shifted from science to commerce, did my MBA in finance, only to realize that it's not as exciting for me. And then I started a dot-com company, which again was a memorabilia auction portal, sold that to another large company. And then I went to Los Angeles to meet a friend.
Okay.
And those friends were Hollywood directors, producers, they were a group. And I tied up with them, and that's how I got into the business. Purely accident. I had no ambition ever to do what I'm doing. I had no creative ambition. My only ambition was to be an entrepreneur and do things that I enjoy. And it's just dots have connected on their own. And it wasn't a plan. So
okay.
I can't take credit for what I'm doing and why I'm here. I have no idea.
Okay, before we go to the last section, would you like to name one book that has inspired you immensely? I mean, you have read many, you have represented many. One book that really, really moved you.
So I'll be honest, when I read personally, I read only nonfiction.
Okay.
Mostly. And I like to read autobiographies.
Okay.
And I've always been very, very influenced by early days. I used to read about Warren Buffet and then Steve Jobs. And then I read, so Steve Jobs and Warren Buffet are two books which I've really sort of been very influenced by.
Okay.
Their lives and the way they've thought about doing things. And yeah, these two books I would say.
Okay. Okay, this is the last section of our show, and we always end our show with a role play. And of course, with you, I cannot think of any other role play other than this. Think that you are sitting at Yash Raj and pitching your life to be made into a biopic. Cook the pitch and do include who you would want to cast as Siddharth.
Oh my God, that's a tough one. So I think I am one of those creative people who are not as creative as people think they are. So I'm going to sell myself as the fourth idiot. And how a guy who actually doesn't know much has convinced people that I know so much and people want to ask me questions like these, call me for podcasts like these. So actually, I don't think I know enough. And it's a loser story. So I think it'll be fun to have a protagonist and see how he's connected to the dots in life. And to act in this, I'll tell him to cast me. As I told you, it's been 4 years. I haven't been able to cast my short film because of this reason. So I think they'll have to cast me. Worst case, take somebody like, I don't know, maybe Aamir Khan. Because at least he can become like me.
And he's also the best. So yeah. he calls himself
idiots.
A loser and then says that I want to be Aamir Khan.
Nee, plus he was in Three Idiots. So the fourth idiot piece go.
Absolutely, point taken. Thank you so much, Siddharth. It was wonderful learning from you, seriously. More than the stories, which I always get inspired by with the work that you are doing. What you told me was immense learning. I had a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for calling me. It's been a good nostalgic trip. And thank you so much. I've had a lot of fun.
So did we. So thanks, audience, for being a part of the fun. Hope you enjoyed our show, The Great Indian Family. Don't forget to share your feedback. Write to Bonjour, Bonjour, at epilogue.media. We will address your queries. Do send us your feedback on Twitter using the hashtag The Great Indian Family. Leave us a review rating on Apple Podcast and make sure to subscribe to the show. We will come back again next Sunday. Till then, let's rock. And the listeners of The Great Indian Family, I owe you a very big thanks. The Great Indian Family, thanks to God's blessings and your benevolence, is one of the most popular shows across. And now you can also hear this show on Alexa. You have to just say, Alexa, play The Great Indian Family. And Alexa will do the job. Thank you, listeners, for listening to us. And I look forward to come back with more interesting people, more interesting stories.